Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is on your mind this New Year's Eve? What fills your thoughts? What concerns, hopes do you have that are at the forefront of your thinking on a day like this? It's interesting, isn't it, that just the coming to the end of a calendar and the rolling over to a new is what prompts a lot of that thinking, even month by month, say nothing year by year. We tend to categorize our lives as moments when we can maybe start fresh because we need to, because the previous year hasn't been what we wanted it to be, or the previous month hasn't been so stellar, and now we've got a new opportunity because, well, the sun rose again. We have a new day. We label it with a number and a name, and suddenly it makes a difference that one sunset is different than another. And yet we gather as Christians year after year on days like this to thank our Lord for the good days and also thank Him for the challenges and blessings of days we might not choose for ourselves. So as you are entering with God's blessing a new year, when the clock strikes 12, wherever you may be this evening, what's on your mind? Is it things economic and financial? Certainly could be, because if you're watching the headlines and you're paying attention to the year and respective type of activities that go on in all kinds of platforms of media, there's a reason to categorize one year and hope in the next year. And there's all kinds of people making promises about the year to come that it has to be better than the year that just was for most people in that whole category of thinking. But who really knows? And if anything has proven true in recent years, even the dynamics of plugging history into computers so that it might give us some indication of where things may be heading with some certainty, yeah, things like that aren't really playing out the way we were promised when that technology came to the forefront. Isn't it fascinating that we've got a portion of Scripture in front of us this evening that almost seems like a checklist of things that could be on our minds and scriptural thoughts, God guided thoughts from the Spirit for us to fill our minds with, if that happens to be what's on our mind or our heart in the moment. If your concerns for the new year do revolve around material resources, the writer to the Hebrews says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. It's very straightforward, very simple. We could tie it to the verses that come before, but that isn't included in our lesson, so let's just take it as it is and start asking ourselves questions like, how difficult is it for me in this moment, or would it be for me in this next year, to not be all that concerned, like to the point of edge of obsession concerned about my financial situation, and just simply be content with what naturally occurs through my faithfulness to my God and my opportunities, and let Him take care of the rest? So since it's a New Year's exercise, measure yourself on your resignation to God's will and your contentment with God's choices for you in the past year. How'd you do? And do you think the next year might actually be better if you just changed this one little element of things, where you thought to yourself, I'll be less intense in wanting and even potentially manipulating what's going on around me for my own personal benefit, my own certainty of what the financial situation is going to be. And he even gives you motivation. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. What a marvelous promise that is. He's wanting you to think big picture in all of that. The idea that no matter what my circumstance might actually be in regard to my material wealth, it never impacts my relationship with my God from his perspective, maybe from mine. I might be unhappy with him about downturns that I would not prefer, or the quality of life that I'm not attaining, or I once did attain but no longer have that I would prefer. But when it's all said and done, I'm with you. I will never forsake you. Your God is saying to you as you enter a new year, and so you can say with confidence, if God is for me, who can be against me? In fact, that's where it kind of takes you with this next verse, because the next verse moves beyond just financial security to security of all types. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Yeah, I could get fired in the next year. Yeah, maybe somebody important in my life that I think has got an eye on me as somebody from a previous generation is going to make that amazing announcement in the next year that their entire estate is going to charity. It's not coming to the family at all. And that certainly changes the dynamic of my future from my own perspective. Or name all kinds of different scenarios in which you can say some human decision in the next year is going to impact your life in enormous ways. And then look back at a verse like this and say, but God has just told me he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me, and he is my helper. So I do not need to be afraid of any given circumstance, because when it's all said and done, no mortal decision, no mortal intention can ever touch my eternal future, can never reach to my soul, my blood-bought soul, the one paid for in the blood of Jesus Christ. No mere mortal can look me in the eye and tell me he or she is as committed to me as my God is. Because my Creator God looks at me and says, I've become just like you to stand in your place, to take your punishment, to take your eternal punishment, to die your death, to give you eternal life. In a place where nothing of failed humanity can ever touch you again. That changes the whole shape of our thinking about today and tomorrow, whether new year or old, and our eternity as well. The ultimate security for the future will, in essence, always be in who influences you and who you follow on a daily basis. The new year will have its choices. Choices both old and new. Choices that we're already accustomed to. Voices that we hear and influences that have existed. And a whole realm of new ones. No matter how young or old we may be, there will be competition for our attention, for our ears, our minds, our hearts. And so as we move in a conversation from financial contentment and security in God's presence in our lives, God's commitment to us, to a conversation about general security regarding no matter what any human being might decide or do to us, it next asks us to consider who we will allow to be our influencers in the year to come. The writer to the letter of the Hebrews suggests that the most important voices in your life and mine are going to be those who speak the word to us. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why the focus specifically on Christian leaders who have faithfully spoken the word? It's the second phrase that helps you understand the first. Because he's saying, look at the outcome of their life. Those who have shared the word with you accurately and truthfully as the word itself expresses it, that haven't added their own ideas, their own intentions, their own motives behind the sharing of the word, but have shared the word faithfully, you will see the things in their lives that have already been talked about here. Contentment, trust, security, a focus on eternal life, and a lack of fear of the human reality that surrounds us and really kind of collides around us on a daily basis. But rather a life that is more focused on what's to come. A life that's transcendent, a life that's looking up to the promises of God and the certainty of his presence and his care and his supplying all of our needs to the point of our being contentment with whatever God decides for us. And all of that is available to us because of the last verse of this little stretch. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's ultimately saying those who share the word with us share a word that never changes because they point us to the ultimate entity that never changes. The God who is with us from creation to the very end of time. He was there before time. He will be there after time. He is the God who could stand at the burning bush and speak to Moses as the I am, who then could repeat that phrase numerous times in his ministry of gospel on the earth, and still today speak of himself as the Lord of the covenant of the salvation of the human race. He's always the same, never changing, always living up to everything that's been placed before us in these verses up till now. With this simple understanding that those who truly follow him, those who truly listen to him, those who would speak to us on his behalf, guiding us back to his word, his principles, his promises, his forgiveness, and the eternal hope that it brings us, look at their lives. It's a wonderful blessing in my life to have had relationships from the time I was a little child, but all the way through my life, and even today, I've always had people in my life from all of the decades of life that we're used to. And numerous times in my life, that has included people over the age of 100 who are wonderful Christian people who are faithful in their encouragement of me with the Word of God. How beautiful it is to see, to attach yourself to generations of the past. In some cases, hundreds of years in the past. Of a personal, also scriptural, accounting of the reality of the changelessness of our God, the consistency of his care for us, his compassion and his forgiveness, but his blessing, no matter what might be experienced on a daily basis, to always have that certainty, no matter what year it is and no matter what day in that year, that we've got a God who is incredibly interested and invested in who we are, what we're up to, and where we're heading. It's not just a matter of the day of the year, but it is always beneficial to remind ourselves we are living for an eternal future. When we're told Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, It's not a surprise that there's a little bit of a gap before those who chose the lesson for us now take us and attach a verse from just a little further in the chapter. We're on a New Year's Eve. It's so important to consider, for here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. I'm somebody who grew up in a place where my family had been for generations. And yet, as somebody asked me earlier this year, and I kind of did the math for the first time in a long time, I've lived in a lot of different places, at least under a lot of different roofs over a significant amount of time. Geographically, some pretty interesting and diverse places too. And the reason it came up was somebody was asking me, do you think you'd ever want to move again? Well, when you've been married almost 40 years and you've got a dozen moves in your hip pocket and you've lived in the same place now for over 2 decades, you just think of all the effort involved and you say, yeah, probably not so much. Unless part of that process is a whole lot of downsizing where we're not taking a whole lot of stuff with us wherever we're going next. Look at this verse again. It's really intending for us to have that kind of attitude because of what's just been told us in the scriptures about the next year and the rest of our lives. To lighten our grip on everything that is our reality in this moment in our lives right now, with an understanding of where we're heading, the city to which we are moving, which is the city that never ends, that has an eternal future, the place that is to come. Again, nothing of our existence here, nothing negative, nothing heartbreaking, nothing painful, not even anything aging about our reality here and now touches that place to which we are going. It's perfect. It's flawless. Leaving us with nothing to want, nothing to strive to be, nothing to learn about ourselves any longer. Because we will know ourselves completely as we will also know our Creator and our God fully and completely, the way Adam and Eve knew Him before the fall into sin. There will be absolutely nothing left to wonder about, to worry about, to want ever again. You take verses like this apart, and you're no longer left wondering, why in the world did those who make the choices long ago for the lessons we will look at on certain days of the year, certain festivals, whatever it might be, what is that one doing here? They fit. They give us handles for us to carry them along with us into the days to come so that we will always have accompanying us that word that has been spoken to us so that we can take its measurement and consider the outcome of the way of life that is being shown to us by those who teach us the word, that the Spirit might lead us to desire the things God most wants for us. Today, tomorrow in a new year, for the eternal future to come. These are thoughts that should shape our new year, but they're thoughts that should shape our daily lives, every last one of our relationships, every choice that we make regarding the priorities of our lives, what we will care about and who we will care for, and how we will demonstrate that in the choices that we make, in the way that we live, in the words that we speak. Just proves again and again and again, God's word is always up to the task of doing what it needs to do in our lives every day, whether it's New Year's Eve or any old day. Amen.